As we look forward to 2020, the reason that we give testimonies is because as the Lord works in one person's life, He wants to do that and encourage other people with that as well. And then part of it, part of also what this morning is we want to just proclaim what we're looking forward to in the coming year. And so the first person that's going to share in just a minute is Maria Broersma. And one of the things that we want to stay true and tuned into in this coming year is missions. This church we want to make missions even more important than the last year. We want to be outreach oriented, not only in this area, but to the ends of the earth as well. And so we want to give monetarily, and we want to give and send as many people as are feeling led to go. And we just happen to have one of our missionaries that we send, Maria, here with us. And so in just a minute, she'll come and be the first person to share. Maria serves in Singapore with Youth with a Mission that we support many of those. And we want to continue to support and not just say that it's important, but actually walk out that missions are important. And so she's going to share. Maria has been here for several weeks. She often will come and kind of give a report. And this Sunday just seemed like a great time to give her a little more time to share what the Lord has done and what He's going to do. But also that would signify no pressure, Maria, that you're speaking for every missionary that we've ever supported. No pressure. But also that would just signify the importance of what we believe is coming in this coming year, which is that we want to continue to support missions. Then Randall Houck is going to come and give a testimony of what the Lord's been doing in his life, really probably for more than just the last year. It's been a little bit longer, but that there is hope and joy for us. And then lastly, Alan will come, and Alan's going to share about what the Lord really put on his heart for the coming year, which is also being outreach-oriented, but the importance of God's Word. So that's what we're going to do. And so, Maria, why don't you come and you can start things off.
Well, I'm so nervous now. You know, Andy was talking about a church that supports missions, and I just have a chance with the mic here to say thank you to this church for being so supportive. And I know it's not just financially, it is financially, but prayer-wise too. I have so many friends in YWAM who, many of them are not supported at all by their church. Some of them are even opposed by their church or their families, and it is really a blessing to have people who love the Lord and want to see His Word go out behind you. So I thank you for that. I have some pictures to show. I think last time I was here, I was talking about our outreach. There's an open area in our... So we started... Sorry, I better go back. We live in the area in Singapore that's called the Red Light District. It's the cheapest real estate because... and so a lot of people who don't have a lot of money, a.k.a. YWAMers, live in that area. But there's also a lot of, like, foreign workers, people who... Singapore, the bulk of the workforce that does kind of construction or the manual labor jobs are from Bangladesh or India or many of these places. And they live, many of them, most of them have families back in whatever country they come from. And then these guys live sometimes, I don't know how many, to a room, six to a room, 10 to a room in the area around us. The government has tried to cut down on that and make laws about that being better. But they live right around us. And so we started to realize we need to open up our doors and start to get to know them and reach out to them. So we did start that. And we have a downstairs area. You'll see the shutters are raised. So we raise up the shutters and then we just play games as a way to kind of attract them to come in and start to build relationship with them. This guy, this particular guy, he works across the street at the frog porridge stall. Yeah, frog porridge. It's great. Tastes like chicken. It's really nice. But these guys, they would see us playing games at our place, and they would kind of look and watch, and we'd always see them over there, and we'd go, come over. And so finally this guy, they got the courage to ask if they could play ping pong, and so they were playing. And we, sometime this year, I plan to have a ping pong tournament The prize probably going to be frog porridge, maybe. But the next slide. So this is one guy. I mean, so we sit that kind of the in right behind is the place where he was playing ping pong. This is our front step. So they come. Sometimes they come and they chat for 2 hours while we're playing games. The next slide. We play shuffleboard. I bought a shuffleboard game and brought it back, which was very new to Singapore. And you can see they're quite into it. It's a very artistic shot. This particular guy, he came the first time that we had a games day. He came and he talked to this couple that there's another picture of them for almost the whole time, almost 2 hours. And then after that, he said, come, I want to take you for dinner. And then he took him for dinner. And I think he's come every time since, if I'm not wrong. And so that's what we're trying to do is just build relationship. And then one thing that we're really worried about is that this would become friendship evangelism without the evangelism, just friendship. So this couple that I work with, the guy was like, we got to start telling them the gospel. All of these guys come from a Muslim background. So it's really, racial harmony is a big deal in Singapore. You can really get in trouble if you're found proselytizing, unless the person is open and they say, yeah, you can tell me about it. So we're praying that this year we'll move into that. The next slide. So that's another picture of it. That's standing kind of from where the ping pong table is, looking out. The building across the street is a Buddhist temple. The other way is a mosque. And then there's another Buddhist temple over there too. And then behind us on the street is a bunch of churches. So it's quite a mix. And then, is there any more pictures? Is that it? Oh, one more, I think. That's another guy. This guy came too. So what happens is they're walking down, we're playing out in the front, and these guys walk down the street, and we just go, hey, come. So that guy, he said, no, yeah, I'm shy. And then he kind of came back, and he said, well, how much does it cost? And then we say, oh, free, we'll pay you to stay. But he stayed also the whole time. And then this is the couple that I work with that kind of help me with this project. So, you know, that's the end of the pictures. We're hoping to keep doing this the first Sunday of every month in the afternoon. That's their day off, so there's more people around. And like I said, hoping to move into the evangelism part of friendship evangelism. Sometimes there's 10 people that stop by in the afternoon. Sometimes there's 3 or 4. We're just not sure how else to reach them, but we're just going to do our best and let God. I was praying about, because after I got back last time, the next time we did it, there was like 2 people that showed up. And I thought, oh God, what are we going to do? How are we going to reach out to these people? Well, I felt like God said to me this funny thing, just cast your net on the other side. I felt like he said that a few times, even with my computer. But that means keep going and let me do the work. You don't have to figure this out. It's not going to be your ingenious plan. Just keep going and let me do the work. And I was thinking about that because on New Year's Eve, 2 things were so prevalent, so primary, and that was evangelism and Bible reading. And I was thinking about a lot of things, but one thing was about how the Holy Spirit helps us in both of those. That the New Testament makes it very clear that these are very much on the heart of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, he's given to us to help us in both of these areas. The first scripture I'd like to read is from Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, it's right after, you remember Peter and John, the leaping and walking and praising God story. They were thrown in, they were somehow incarcerated by the religious leaders. And then they were told, go away, don't ever speak in this name again. And then they said, oh, well, you be the judge. Should we obey God or man? And then of course, they were told to go and never speak in this name again. But after this, let me start in verse 23. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats with and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. That strikes me. I mean, we think about the Holy Spirit. I often think about speaking in tongues or healing or prophecy. But there's many other things that we see that the Holy Spirit was given to do. One of them is to give us boldness to speak the truth of Jesus Christ. And that is something that I'm really longing for. I told you before, I'm not very good at evangelism. Some people are bad at math. Some people are bad at evangelism. I'm bad at both math and evangelism. And the Holy Spirit is here to help us with that. And I think it's good for us to remember, when I say I'm bad at evangelism, I'm bad at my idea of evangelism, which means you start preaching and you have a big sermon and then everybody falls on their faces before God and that's it. But actually what we're called to be is witnesses. And witnesses tell people about what they've seen or experienced. And we have all seen and experienced him. And we can just tell people about that and leave the results up to him. Just lovingly tell people. So one of the things that I'm really praying for in this ministry, but just in every area of my life, is boldness from him to speak more clearly for him. The other thing is Bible reading. And I think my time's up already. Bible reading is, of course, quite key for all of us. But that's my work. But my work often, because I have a leader over me, his name is Jerry, he's the director, and then I do the day-to-day details. But that is, I mean, I do so many details, I hardly have time to study the Bible, which is not too good for a Bible teacher. But this last year, a girl took over from my spot. So now it's her and then me and then Jerry. And so that gives me more time to study the Bible, which I'm really excited about. I was reading Psalm 119 recently, and it's just, that psalmist is just starving for God's word. And he keeps saying, it makes me wise. It helps me to understand a better way to live. And I'm praying that, again, the Holy Spirit will give me that hunger to be starving for his word. Let me just read a couple of quick scriptures. In John chapter 14, Jesus was preparing them for him to leave. The Holy Spirit, he's promising the Holy Spirit as he's leaving. Verse 26, 14:26, Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So part of what the Holy Spirit was supposed to do was to teach us and remind us to be a revealer of Christ to us. And he does that through the Word also. So I think that when we study the Word, we need to really study it to know Jesus, not to try and figure out some dynamic truth that nobody's ever heard before. I think I've said that before. If you find some truth that nobody's ever heard before, it's called heresy. So I think we don't really want to find some new truth that nobody ever heard. What we want is for the real truth of Jesus Christ to go deeper and deeper and deeper in our lives. Things like he loves us, like we talked about today. Things like we're saved by his grace. It's not by our work, but it's by his grace that we're saved. Man, I have so many areas in my life where I need these basic fundamental truths to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And his Holy Spirit is there to help us to do that. And then finally in chapter 16, John chapter 16, Jesus says to them, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come." So here again, Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit will come to guide us into truth. And as we submit to the Holy Spirit, he will help us in all of these areas. One thing that we can notice in the Acts passage is that the nations are raging against him. And the apostles were caught in the crossfires of it. We're going to be caught in the crossfires of it. And that's not the time to go hide in a cave. That's the time to keep speaking of Jesus and ask his Holy Spirit to help us to speak boldly. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I really did not anticipate that I would be up here like this very much. We got a scripture up here. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, and these kinds of things. Think about these things. And so I just want to say when I was 27 or 28 years old, I was already a believer at that time. But there were a lot of things that troubled me a lot from my upbringing. And it made it hard for me to think about these things. I wasn't thinking as much as I should about these things. And so at some point in my time, I just decided, that's it. I'm done with thinking about this. I'm going to get on with my life. I'm going to play the game with the cards that I'm dealt, and this is it. And I have married a good Christian woman, and we raised an excellent couple of Christian girls, and I had a recognizable career, and I had gave to the Lord's work, did some good things, you know, maybe. And so, anyway, all of that happened right now. Then, fast forward, age 62, the Lord delivered me from self-condemnation. And I wasn't really looking for that. I knew it was hard being in here, but, you know, I wasn't really looking for that. I wasn't expecting that. And, you know, I had to help. I had to do some things, but pretty much the Holy Spirit just took action in my life. And so I praise God for that. And as if that were enough, then in the summer, He delivered me from hopelessness. Now, I already had the hope in the Lord, you know, but I didn't want to hope in anything else because that can bring disappointment, right? And I'd been disappointed. I didn't want any more disappointment. And so this was hard for me. I was kind of really scared of hoping for things. But when the Lord brought that, I got this really buoyant feeling of joy. And I wasn't expecting anything good because, really, I was just expecting disappointment because if you hope, then you can be disappointed. But I got this very buoyant feeling of hope and joy. And I'm going to remind you at this point about my jiggling of my legs. Okay, I apologize very much, but, like, I've always been a person that jiggled his legs all the time. I mean, I jiggled. I've actually been seated in different places in some jobs, according to where it would not jiggle the floor as much, you know, resonant. So, like, it was constant and extreme, and I really actually thought it was a good thing because I felt like I'm energized now. I mean, I'm high metabolism, right? So I think this is a good thing. I'm energized, right? So I thought it was good, really. But when I came to church for the first time with joy in my heart, and then this jiggling actually felt like as though I were on drugs. I had this tight feeling in my chest, and I thought, this is not right. And so, anyway, I went into, is it the back or the front? I don't know. But anyway, I went for prayer for peace. And I was to learn over time. I was to learn that I was addicted to the biochemistry of fight or flight response. You know, I mean, I was pretty much an anxiety junkie. And I've never heard of an anxiety junkie, but I was one. And I didn't know how to stop. And so the Holy Spirit gave me the means to track down things that were troubling to me. And I had to do work. I mean, I had to work on it. And one by one, things would come, and I would be remembering and processing these things. That this was hard. I would remember something, and I'd go, oh, yeah, I forgot. So one by one, and I had a counselor helping me with this, and Tom Davey helped me a great deal with this. I needed people to talk to and, you know, support me and get sounding board. It was a hard time, but I want to say that as of December, roughly December 1st of 2018, 13 months ago, I have not jiggled my legs. I don't jiggle my legs anymore at all. And so I apologize if you were sitting next to me before then. And my wife would stop, put her hand, stop. But I had the other leg. But anyway, my next story I wanted to share is that in May of 2019, my job changed and I work out of state. And so from Monday to Friday evening, I'm gone. I'm out. You know, suitcase, hotel stuff. And it turns out that I don't handle this very well. You know, I'm going to just share with you. I begin to be more and more sure that Patty just doesn't love me at all. And it makes for a hard week. But I can see, I mean, yeah, it's undeniable because I can see all the evidence in front of me. It's all in front of me. So how can you, you know. But then when I get home on Friday, and maybe we would go out to dinner or something, and maybe she would take my hand and hold my hand, and I just realized I've been wrong about this. Now, you know, I wanted to say, you know, how do you keep making the same mistake over and over again? You know, it's not a matter of how smart you are. This is not hard to figure out, but it just, you know, so the Holy Spirit is still working. He's still doing things in my life, and I want him to keep doing that. I ask him to, you know, keep doing these things. I don't know what the next thing is going to be, but... And I really appreciate that Maria shared a lot about the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to say these things about the Holy Spirit, too, because he will change. He will do things in a different way. He's not stuck to one thing. I mean, and so even curiosities, you know, when I started on the self-condemnation thing, I had no idea that this was the gospel, that this was, you know, the Lord was doing. Well, I had a sense that the Lord was doing something, but I was pretty clueless. But now as this has gone on, and I'm beginning to see even curiosity, even like idle curiosities, can be something the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart. Why did I get curious about this? So like I became curious. Well, why do I hate my name so much? Because I hate the name Randy. I hate it. And so, but why? So why? I mean, it sounded infantile to me, okay? But you got Jimmy Carter, you got Teddy Roosevelt, okay, presidents are named that like this. So why can it be such a bad thing? But I knew, when I thought about it and just tried to seek, what is this going on? And I realized that, you know, the problem is I have a photograph, I have an image of this, a four-year-old boy named Randy, and he's smiling. I mean, he's unreasonably happy, too happy. And like, in fact, I'll just put a parameter on it just for fun. I think we might enjoy this. That he was all the way up to the Jeff Brehm happy level. Okay? Okay, that might get... Okay, so, and I didn't like it, but I thought, well, so what's wrong with this? What's the problem with the happy boy, you know? And honestly, I'm going to give it to you really the way it... I felt like saying to this kid, grow up. Just grow up and deal with it. And stop being such a silly, goofy little, giddy little goofball and deal with it. You know? And then I realized, you know, pretty quick to realize that's not something to say to a happy little boy. You know, and then the Holy Spirit revealed something to me really important. And that is that the Lord Jesus was really happy with this little boy. And then not only that, but I overheard this conversation. Actually, I imagined this conversation. But I'm just going to say, I overheard this conversation, right? So, so would you put up the photograph there? So, the Lord Jesus says, Father, Father, look at this. Yeah, okay. And the Father says, yeah, just what I was looking for. Yeah, exactly what I had in mind. Good, good. And so anyway, that's what the Father has to say about this, right? The Father says a lot of this stuff about things that he sees. And so anyway, I had to repent. Because you're not supposed to hate things that the Lord loves, you know. And so, but I didn't know how, because how can you, I don't know, if I'm going to repent from stealing, I can stop stealing. I didn't know if I could stop hating him, you know. And so, but I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And so the amazing thing that happened was that I felt happy about it. Felt very happy. And I just started smiling. Whenever I would think, see this picture, I would just start smiling. I wouldn't even laugh. I would just start laughing about this picture, this image of this kid. And so, and the most amazing thing about it of all is that when I'm really considering that this is me, you know, I mean, that's amazing to me. How can this be me? So it is a wonderful thing. I know that the Holy Spirit wants to fix things and make it so that you can think about these things that you know, whatever is pure, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of good, you know, good report, praiseworthy. Think about these things. The Holy Spirit wants to fix some things up so that you can think about these things better. Okay, and so I was right. I was right that you're going to have to play the game. You're going to be born as a child. I mean, I'm sure you all were babies at one time, and you're going to have to grow up. You go through adolescence. You become an adult. You might have to work for a living. You know, you're going to get older. You know, and so you know you're going to get this. You're going to play the game, but you don't have to play the game with the cards that you're dealt. And that's what I was wrong about. And the Lord wants to give you a better card. You know, the Lord wants to take away a bad card or find a better card that you didn't see yet. And so I just want to say in conclusion that you can call me Randy. Okay, you can call me Randy. I should be happy with that. And but I also want to say that, okay, call me Randy. But you also, you have to listen to the Holy Spirit. What does he want to work on? And yet, you're going to have to do the work, you know, but he wants to help you with something. Amen.
Praise God. Isn't God good? Are you encouraged? Are you encouraged? You should be encouraged. Two members of this body stood up and testified to good things that God's doing in them and through them. Be encouraged today. First Sunday of the new year, be encouraged. God is doing good things in our midst. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter wrote to all of us. In this letter, he doesn't address it to the church of the people. He's addressing it to you and me. And he says, "Oh, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all that pertains to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Guys, the world is getting darker. 2020, bad things are going to happen. But we've been given precious promises in the Word of God. We've been encouraged. So, come and share what you shared on New Year's Eve. And it's like, I didn't take notes. I had no notes. I got up and I shared. But so then you think about, what is it? Yeah, the Word of God. We need to be reading what Peter wrote to us, what he wrote to me, and saying, God, how does it apply to me? Lord, what do you want me to take from your Word and do what the Word says? Because the corruption of the world is here, and it's out to get you. It's out to get me. Lust of the eyes, pride of life. Satan wants to see you defeated, me defeated. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to be bound up. I am so thankful that Randy got up and shared, 62 years old, got up and shared and said, "Hey, I'm on this journey, and by God's grace, I'm going to find new ways to walk in freedom, to walk in liberty." What is it that God wants you to be free from, to be released into? What is it? Verse 5 says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, self-control to self-control, perseverance to perseverance, godliness to godliness, brotherly kindness to brotherly kindness, love." Guys, that sounds like work. Randy just was up here and said, it's going to take effort, right? Peter says, be diligent. We got to be awake. We've got to be diligent. We've got to be active. We've got to be, God, what is it that you're wanting me to do? How do you want me to apply your word? For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the Lord wants us to be fruitful in the year 2020. The fruit of the Spirit, sure. But I believe the Lord wants us to be fruitful in seeing people come to faith. That's not going to happen if I remain in my little place of whatever, wherever I am. It's going to be happening because I look at my brother and I say, would you pray for me this year? Would you pray for me that I get beyond praying for Abdullah, my neighbor, who's an Afghani man, and that I actually invite him into my house? God, I'm not a strong evangelist. I'm so thankful. Maria gets up and says, you know, we need to take the evangelism, a French of evangelism, and we need to share Jesus. That's a word for all of us. That's a word for me. In a few seconds, going to have us wait on the Lord and ask God to give us one person. What's one person? One name. Maybe you don't know the name of the, you don't know the a person, but God, give me a name of a person. The Holy Spirit can bring that person into your life, right? But we need to be praying and believing that God wants to save people. Guys, if we end this year and we haven't shared our faith, if we end this year and there's not some people that have come to faith, why did we spend the year? What did we invest the year? God has given us a precious thing. Peter told us. We just read it. If we're reading the Bible, right, we're reading wonderful things. Wonderful things. If we're just holding on to it for ourselves, man, holding on. A good person, a kind person, a person who loves Jesus would share what God's given us. If we're just holding on to it, man, God, convict us. Convict us. And it's not going to happen if we walk alone. We got to share it. We got to share what God's stirring in us. So the challenge is, God, who do you want me to be praying for? Who do you want me to be talking to? And then I need to would you hold me accountable? Would you help me do what God's calling me to do? Body life is really, 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 really important. We need to be a body that walks together. It's hard. For some of us, it's maybe really hard. But reach out to someone. If you need someone to be praying with you, find them and ask them to pray. Love one another. By this, people will know that Jesus loves them. Amen. God, we just pray now that you would give us the name of a person. Father, that you would give us the face of a person. If we don't have an actual person, God, I pray that you would speak to each one of us about a person, a place, someone, a name. Lord, help us to be ready to share this life that you've given us in Jesus. Lord God, we want to be about the things that are on your heart. Thank you for the word, that the life is in the word. Lord, we want to share this life with others and do it together. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.